We take you to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley. Joseph, I assume people are talking about Kim Jong-un's upcoming visit with Vladimir Putin today. How much impact would North Korean weapons have on the Ukraine battlefield?
Hey, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. And I mean, actually, no one here is talking about that, I think, because, I mean, you know, obviously North Korea is a dark horse and a wild card. But I mean, it's in many ways, it's a failed state. It's a state that has been a terrorist state. You know, they've threatened the world with their nuclear designs for a long time, but they're pretty much self-contained. And again, the fact that Putin is turning to Kim Jong-un should tell us two things. One, for anyone who sympathizes with Putin or has sympathized with him, you know, to really understand, you know, the bad guys are working together here. The people, those tyrants who, you know, oversee countries with no freedom whatsoever. But also the fact that, you know, Putin would have to go to turn to North Korea, you know, which is not, you know, I mean, it's a state with, you know, we can safely call it a failed state. And so I think that this should show, you know, that Putin is not, again, not as strong as he seems to project. But there was a sort of bizarre theater of the North Korean leader. He, you know, travels by train. So it takes an extremely long time to travel from North Korea by train. And so by the time he gets back, you know, we'll have some time to adjust to whatever they agree to, I hope. But meanwhile, speaking of leaders visiting different countries during the time of war, today I was running past the memorial to the Heavenly Hundred in Ukraine. That's a memorial to those Ukrainians who gave their lives during the protest in 2013 and 2014. And just a couple of days ago, it's here in my neighborhood by the news bunker, Boris Johnson, the former prime minister of the UK, was right there. He came on a sort of surprise visit to Lviv. And, you know, Boris Johnson, I know he's not so popular in the UK and in many other places, but he could be a permanent resident of Ukraine. People love him here because he was one of the early voices to stand with the Ukrainians, you know, in those dark days. When a lot of the world was just kind of quietly waiting to see, you know, what would happen, to see if the Ukrainians would hold on. Boris was a strong voice. And so he gets a hero's welcome here. He's, you know, he traveled by himself more or less on the train from Kyiv to Lviv because he's so, you know, everyone loves him here. You know, he just really feels at home. And as I was thinking about his visit, you know, I've also been thinking a lot about Winston Churchill and these days because, you know, we think about what happened in the 1930s. We look at what happened at the G20 conference in New Delhi, and you know, where even the U.S. and Western nations refused to condemn Russia. They agreed upon a joint document, and they can, you know, talked about the war in Ukraine in those terms, rather than talking about Russia's war on Ukraine. And I'm starting to, you know, I mean, we've seen for a while, but it seems like there's a growing movement toward appeasement. And this is exactly the thing that Winston Churchill, he was a voice in the wilderness crying out against the appeasement throughout the 1930s. And so I would encourage everyone who is maybe starting to get weak-kneed about Ukraine or is starting to doubt why this matters to do two things. One, to watch the film, fantastic film, The Darkest Hour, where Gary Oldman plays Winston Churchill. And, you know, it's a Hollywood film. So not everything is, you know, I know from personal experience because there was a TV show, you know, where Russell Crowe played my boss. And I know not everything is true in Hollywood. But I also know a lot about Churchill. And when I was in my 20s, a few years ago, I went to the Churchill College at Cambridge University. And I was one of the first people to listen to the tapes of the secret tapes of people who knew Churchill well, people who worked for him and people who were, you know, his colleagues and friends, and they told their real opinions of him. So this included all of the flaws, all of the problems. You know, he was a difficult person to deal with, and many times. But the one thing that was clear from these tapes was sort of his prophetic nature, his steadfastness, and his sense that you know, that something bad was cooking in the world, and that he had to be the voice to rise up against it. And so I worked for the woman who was Winston Churchill's last private secretary, the Lady Jane Williams, She's also the Archbishop of Canterbury's mother. So the mother of the guy that put the crown on King Charles, she and her husband employed me for a little while. And I got to hear these fantastic, amazing stories of Churchill the man. And so I know that this film, even though it's Hollywood, has a lot of truth. And I think it has amazing resonance right now. And I think when we listen to the conversations in this film, we should think about the conversations that we hear now politically. And my favorite conversation in that film is between King George and Winston Churchill. And we will never know quite if that actually happened, but it shows, you know, these two leaders confiding in each other and agreeing to face the fear together, agreeing to face Hitler, despite how fearful they were. We can't play that on the air because I think the language is not polite enough, but I want to share this quick clip of it's where Lord Halifax, a member of the cabinet, he is saying Europe, but at this point, Europe was almost entirely in Axis power hands. Europe had fallen to the Nazis and to Mussolini, and the Brits, many in the government are saying we must negotiate. So here's Lord Halifax, and then we hear Churchill's response, played by Gary Oldman.
Now is the time to negotiate in order to obtain the best conditions possible. Hitler will not insist on outrageous terms. He will know his own weaknesses. He will be reasonable.
When will the lesson be learned? When will the lesson be learned? How many more dictators must be wooed, appeased, good God, given him mixed privileges, before we learn? You cannot reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth.
Wow, The Darkest Hour. I want to go back and watch that again. I love the movie, and I think I need to see it again.
Yeah, Bob, I mean, it's, you know, I watched it in part because it's encouraging, because, you know, especially when I saw what was happening on the G20 summit, and we see the slow trickle of weapons, and how many, I mean, everyone here, you know, the death toll is, I mean, the Ukrainians are holding the line, but the death toll is heavy, not just, you know, the volunteers we talked about yesterday, but also soldiers. And so this movie is encouraging to know that, yeah, it is possible to turn the tide. And that's the second thing that I encourage everyone to look at. There's a map, which I posted on my Twitter at JP Lindsley, Instagram and Facebook. And it's a map of Ukraine from the Ukraine Air Raid Alarm app. And it was during one of the times when there was a nationwide air alarm throughout Ukraine. And I zoomed out so you can see all of Europe. And if you look at this map, so you'll see Europe is in green and Ukraine is in orange, all under air raid alert. And you see how huge Ukraine is in comparison to Europe. You see just how much of Europe is under threat. And when you see that map, it's very jarring. There's two emotions. One, it's scary to see this is what Russia is threatening. But then the upside, and this is the difference between the situation in the 1930s. In the 30s, the European nations, the great and grand countries of Europe, as Churchill said, fell so quickly. And all that was left was little England, the United Kingdom and Ireland and you know, a few small countries. But the major countries fell so quickly. And we're in this situation now on the positive side where because of the Ukrainians' willingness to fight, because of some of the weapons that have come from the West, we're not yet at that catastrophic situation. And so I think you can see both the scariness of this reality, but also the good situation that we're in if we keep the resolve. And, you know, some of those weapons that arrived early on from the U.S., the HIMARS, the high-mobility rocket launchers, Ukraine only has about 20 of them. They arrived June 2022. Before they arrived, it was you know, cities were falling every week. They turned things around. But just to show, you know, Ukraine needs more of those. And Poland just made a deal to buy 486 of these from the United States. So Poland is going to get 486. Poland, not at war. Ukraine only has 20. And you look at that map and see how big Ukraine is. How are they expected to hold on with that just a little dripping of these weapons?
We need to see what you're talking about. We'll post all the links. If you go to WGNradio.com, the Surratt Show page, you'll find everything there along with Joseph Lindsley's daily reports. All right. The Darkest Hour. You have to watch that again. And also, if you haven't seen the movie about Joseph Lindsley's old boss, Roger Ailes, The Loudest Voice is that movie. And we'll talk tomorrow. As they say in Ukraine, as you taught us yesterday, Joseph, we'll be waiting for you, which means, of course, whenever you arrive, we'll be glad to be with you, right?
The epitome of hospitality. I'll be waiting to talk to you all tomorrow.
Take care.